This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. The passing of Nelson Mandela has the entire world reflecting on his achievements and influence in promoting democracy and equality in South Africa. For Americans who witnessed Mandela's efforts from abroad, he was a vaunted figure who was raised to living legend status. For some journalists in Johannesburg, though, Mandela shaped careers. One of them is Bill Keller, former executive editor of the New York Times and currently an op-ed columnist for the paper. Welcome back to WNYC, Bill.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great piece in the New York Times today. You were the Times Johannesburg bureau chief in the early 90s, a significant time for South Africa. How did that experience shape you as a journalist?
I think one thing that both Mandela personally and the South African story hammered home for me was that things are always more complicated than they seem. And that keeps coming back to me this week as I listen to the well-deserved adulation of Mandela, but that tends to sort of sanctify him. And there was, in 1994, after his inauguration, one of the Johannesburg papers did an interview with Mandela. And the headline they put on it in about 90-point type was, "Mandela, I'm no Messiah." Think about the fact that that was headline news. But what he meant to say, and he was absolutely right, was that this is not a man kind of coming down from the heavens to save South Africa. It was all about South Africans saving themselves. And to place too much either expectation or credit on the shoulders of one man is not only unrealistic, it's sort of self-defeating. And the fact is, 19 years after Mandela became president, South Africa is still kind of a mess. It has not been saved. I mean, yes, it's a democracy. It's certainly better off than it was under apartheid. And 19 years in the scheme of things is not that long. It's still a young country. But it's a country where 40% of the people live on $2 or less a day. During the first 2 years, I guess, that I was there leading up to the elections, a lot of South Africans were absolutely convinced that there was going to be civil war before there would be a peaceful resolution of the conflict, for sure, that this couldn't happen peacefully, and yet it did. And so I guess it's the quintessential journalist's lesson, which is take everything with a grain of salt.
I'm wondering if coming as you do to this story as an American with its own stain of racial inequality and hundreds of years of racial injustice, whether that shaped you as you covered this story?
The American experience can be a handicap in one respect, I think, for reporters who are covering the change in South Africa, because, you know, you immediately begin to make analogies to the American civil rights movement. It was immensely complicated. There was a lot more violence. And Mandela was not just, you know, a guy who led massive marches for peace. He was an incredibly adroit politician. He was, for a while, an underground warrior, what today's parlance would be called a terrorist. He was a complicated guy, and it was a complicated time. So, you know, you can't not be an American when you go to cover stories, but it really helps to sort of suspend your American expectations and prejudices.
You later became executive editor of The Times. Anything about your experience in South Africa affected or influenced your decision-making process, how you follow a story, what kind of stories you assigned your reporters to?
I actually thought a fair amount when I got thrust into a management job after years of swearing I would never be an editor about how Mandela did it, because he was a remarkably good manager. He wasn't a great president, but he was great at managing the process that got them to be, got him to be president and got the country to be a democracy. One of the things that he writes about in his autobiography that I think about from time to time is that he learned how to deal with people by watching the tribal chiefs. He grew up, much of his youth was spent in, because he was in a family of tribal royalty. And he said, the elders would kind of get together to plan things. And the chief, he said, led the way a shepherd leads a flock from behind. It's a worthwhile thing to think of when you have to run a large organization, that you can't always be striding out in front and sort of waving a flag and saying, "Follow me." Sometimes you have to let people follow their own instincts and then just give them a little nudge.
Do you think he's the most interesting person you've ever covered?
He's the greatest person I've ever covered. I've had very good story karma. I got to cover Gorbachev and Yeltsin and Andrei Sakharov and a lot of other interesting people in the Soviet Union. And there was no shortage of interesting people in South Africa. But for me, what still continues to amaze me about Mandela is that he came out of 27 years of prison facing a regime that had tormented his family, tortured and killed many of his friends, oppressed his people for 300 years, and he's somehow managed to control all of that and be a politician. A lot of the moral avatars and dissidents that I'd covered in other places were great, but they tended to see the world in black and white, and they would have made lousy politicians. The fact that he could do both of those things is what singles him out for real.
Bill Keller is an op-ed columnist for The New York Times and author of The Tree Shaker, The Story of Nelson Mandela. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, happy to do it.